concluded a very important weekend holiday, Veterans Day, honoring our military. And there are a lot of images on the TV screen of those who have served, and reminders to us of the rich blessing that we have from the Lord because of faithful men and women that have arisen to the call to be enlisted in military activity and to protect our freedoms and to spread freedom throughout the world. And I'm so appreciative of the fact that we at least try to stand for what's right. We don't always find that sometimes there are no great solutions to some situations, but at least we try to stand for what's right as a nation. And we have someone here today. Which one is it, honey? Is it Dylan? Dylan, where's Dylan? You're going to come up here. This young man, he's going to come up here. Come right up here, Dylan. All right, this boy, doesn't he look like the pastor this morning? I mean, this is mini-me right here. This is a fine young man. And he's an intelligent little guy. And I'll tell you, if you ever have any questions about insects and particularly snakes and things like that, check it out with this guy. I'll tell you, he's got the info right there. And he's a great little guy. And he has memorized some things. And now, what is it you're going to share with us today?
The Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence. How many know the Declaration of Independence can quote it this morning? How many can quote it? Okay, I see there's one or two. Okay. Well, you might be able to quote a line or two. Sometimes people get it mixed up with the Constitution and some other documents that we have. The Declaration of Independence, all right, in honor of those that have gone on and dedicated their lives and their commitment to serving this nation. Dylan now presents this. This is his special gift to us and to those great men and women who have served us well. Okay, go
right ahead. In honor of Veterans Day, I am going to recite a portion of the Declaration of Independence. In Congress, July 4, 1776, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government to provide new guards for their future security.
All right, way to go. All right, yeah, give them an applause. Way to go. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was super. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. That is tremendous. And we have a lot to be proud of in that young man. And I know God's got something special for him, and I just appreciate this kind of dedication. You know, sometimes you don't know what kind of talents we have, and sometimes it's memorizing something like that. It's something else. But you all have a gift, but it's wonderful to see the young people moving in those areas that are going to bless them later on in life. Praise God. And that's one of the great ministries of the church, you know, is the education of our youth. And we have a preschool and a daycare here at Trinity. And we also have Sunday school hour. We have classes not just for the young, but for the older folk also, and right on up through the adults and seniors. And if you're not here at 9:15, by the way, you're missing out on a real blessing, because we have classes for you, and it's interesting. There's give and take and discussion and about biblical things, scriptural things. And I want to encourage you, 9:15 is our Bible hour, and then 10:30 is our morning worship. And we appreciate, these are some of the fruits of it, of study in school, but also we have wonderful results that come from the learning of God's word to the various ministries of the church. Just a reminder, we have one of our number, Jen Schulteis, is in South Africa this morning. She's been there for the last week, and she'll be coming back this week. So be praying for Jen as she will be making her way back to the United States later on this week. But she's been there with Arlene Dorr, who's ministering as a missionary to widows and homeless children and orphans and the poor, basically the poor. She feels she has a calling to minister to the poor. And so she's ministering through some churches down there, and she has a newsletter she sends out, and she's, of course, one of our members here at the church. And we are privileged to have her home and from time to time, and she always brings a good report of what God is doing down in South Africa amongst the poor. God wants us all to be involved in something with regard to his kingdom. Do you know that? He wants you to be involved. He doesn't want you to be involved in the sense that you just go to church and that's it. He wants you to be involved in what the kingdom is doing, what the kingdom is accomplishing. And this morning I want to just share a few thoughts on this subject of being faithful, being faithful. Not too long ago I was out and about, and the Lord from time to time brings individuals to my mind. Oftentimes people at one time or another attended here, and things happen, you know, as they often do, and they're here for a while, then they're gone, and I think about it. Lord, what's going on? What's happening? And I came across one of these individuals, and just had a brief little chat, didn't get into any detail, but I immediately went to that thought, Lord, I wonder how this person's doing spiritually. I know where this person once was. I was going through my files a while back, and what I do is a number of you send notes to me from time to time. I would say mostly positive. I'd say most all of them are positive. But I have a little file I keep. It's my little file of remembrance. Because I know how fickle people are. And it's amazing that you can receive expressions of praise and congratulations and of honor, and then the same individuals, all of a sudden there's a falling out, and you don't get those kind of notes anymore. And I have a file, it's amazing, and I look through them, but I have it for a reason, because it brings me back to a point where I knew that individual was walking with Christ, and was in right fellowship with the Lord, and where God was doing some tremendous things. And I saw this individual not too long ago, and I remember how God had worked in this person's life, and I remember the tears that flowed down the face when giving expression to what God had done in the life of this individual, where God had brought this person from where they were, and then now they'd experienced a new life in Christ, and this individual was so grateful, and tears just began to flow down the face, and I remembered that moment.
remembered it. And the person no longer attends here in my prayer, and I don't know what's going on. Things happened in that life. Things happened in that marriage. The enemy came in and sowed seeds of discord and turmoil, and that person, I believe, I thought had backslidden, and maybe still is backslidden, but I remembered where they were. And I thought, God, what is really important with you when you consider your children? And I read to the Word, and one of the things that comes out as you read through God's Word is faithfulness. Faithfulness. One of the things highly prized by God is that trait of faithfulness in His children. It says in Hebrews 3:5, now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. And then I go back and I read about Abraham. Father Abraham, how he was faithful to the call of God. And then I read about, later on, Joseph. Joseph was faithful. The times when he was facing oppression, rejected by his brethren, thrown in prison, forgotten for a season. Those years, day after day, week after week, month after month, and yet he was faithful. And God brought him out of it. And you have that roll call of faith in Hebrews, and that theme time and time again it comes through. God is looking for people, not only who will trust Him and believe Him for a moment in time, but He's looking for someone who will develop that character, that steel of character whereby they are faithful no matter what. And unfortunately, for anyone who's been in the ministry for any length of time, that characteristic is sadly lacking in the church. Has nothing to do with the ability of God. Has nothing to do with the faithfulness of our Lord. Has everything to do with a lack of character in the life of the person that at one time at least said, yes, God, I hear what you're saying, and I will respond, and I dedicate myself to you. And then, through the circumstances of life, they get discouraged, and they forget their vow to the Lord. The interesting thing is, Moses was cited as being faithful, and then in that very next verse, they cite the Lord. He cites the Lord. He says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. And the phrase is, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. You see, the commendation for the child of God is not that you once made a commitment to serve Christ, but the commendation is that you held firm in that decision you made. You were going to persevere no matter what would come your way. You're going to still be faithful to your commitment. God places a high priority on those who are faithful. And the tragedy is, so often we witness those who at one time have made a commitment and then they go back on their word and they go back on that vow that they made. For whatever reason, and one could ask, is there ever a good reason? Because that's what people do, you know, when faced with some defect of character. There's an excuse that comes forth. Well, it was because of this, or well, it was because of that. I wonder, is there ever a sufficient excuse for a lack of faithfulness? Think about it a moment. In your own life, how do you treat those who have been unfaithful to you? Can you just for a moment think about that? Sometimes we place that whole idea of unfaithfulness within the context of marriage, and that's a terrible thing. One of the greatest hurts anyone in life will ever experience is unfaithfulness in their married life. A marriage partner who is unfaithful to the vows they took at an altar before God and said, I do. And not only I do, they said, I will. I will do these things. I will not only do, not only do I take this person, but I will be faithful. I promise to love, cherish. For in sickness and in health, oh, richer or poorer, no matter what, and we take those vows, and one of the greatest pains in life is for the innocent party who has to experience that. Unfaithfulness. One of the greatest hurts. And some people never get over it. It follows them to the grave. What do you think God in heaven feels? How do you think he feels when he looks upon his children? Those whom he sent his son to die for. Then he sees one who made a vow and then didn't keep it. Was unfaithful. I don't know. God is God, and one could question whether or not God has a heart that could be broken. But if he does, and if he can have a broken heart, I'm sure it's in those moments that his heart would be broken. Being faithful, how important is it? It's vitally important. The Apostle Peter called us to be faithful to the call of God. The time of our conversion, when we make that commitment, we look at that call that we have heard and responded to, that eternal call. It's a call to peace. It's a call to holiness by his glory and excellence. And what is the purpose? Why does God call people? And there's a reason for it. There's a reason why we must be faithful. The first reason we could say is this, that it's important to be faithful to the call of God because of eternal life. Eternal life. John 3:15 and following, and has it down so succinctly. It says in 3:15, for whoever believes may in him have eternal life. Eternal life is at stake. Eternal life. You realize as you get older how fleeting life is. You never realize that in your youth. But as you get older, you realize it moves so rapidly, it's fleeting. It seems like it's here today, gone tomorrow. It's fleeting. We're all headed in the same direction. We're all going to face the same test. And in fact, we have experienced but a very small portion of our existence in this life, because we are eternal creatures. Eternity awaits all of us, regardless of your decision, whether or not you're going to follow God. That's not the only thing that determines whether or not you're going to exist in eternity. You're going to exist in eternity. There's more of your existence that awaits you than what you've already experienced. Eternity is there. And we don't have but a small idea of what it's going to be like. We have some encouragement from the Word as to what it's going to be. For the saint, it's going to be glory. And for the sinner, it's going to be utter anguish and damnation. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, as Jonathan Edwards once preached that sermon so many years ago. And there was a time when people would hear about the wages of sin and the judgment of God, and they would actually shake as they heard the word being preached under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we live in a world today that laughs and mocks the things of God. But it doesn't change what's going to happen. The mockers will always be there. Those who rail against Christ and His church, they're going to be there. But it doesn't change a thing. We're all facing eternity. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And your existence as an entity so far has so small and minute, it's as a grain of sand amongst the sands of time. There's so much more that awaits us in eternity. That's ahead for you and for me. And so when we talk about eternal life, John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. You see, it's not just believing, but it's obeying. Some people say, I believe in Christ, and yet they don't obey Christ. John 6:40 says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise Him up on the last day. You're going to be raised up if you die before the Lord comes. See, there's more to it. That's not the end of the story. There's more to it. This is all the prologue. This is all the introduction to your existence. This is before the even beginning. It all is going to begin in eternity. That's really where you're going to exist without the constriction of time, without the boundaries of time. That's where we're headed. You're preparing yourself now for eternity. And so the purpose of the call, that you see, it's for eternal life, and that's why being faithful to God is so important, because this life is just a drop compared to that life we have that is beyond the grave in the eternal realm. We also need to be faithful. There's a reason for it, for the salvation of others. Matthew 10:7 says, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means it's now. People wondered about that, going around saying the kingdom is now. And what is meant by that? Christ was even questioned in his earthly ministry whether he was going to establish an earthly kingdom. People are looking for that, and he didn't do that. He was establishing a spiritual kingdom. And it's comprised of the saints of God, those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that kingdom of Christ it started back at the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Christ was establishing His kingdom and it's going to reach throughout the earth, and eventually we know that there's going to be an eternal kingdom. See, that the kingdom of God, the salvation of others, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says in Mark 16:15, and he said, then go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out and let people know that Christ is establishing His kingdom, and there's a reason. Eternity is coming. It's coming for all of us. It's coming. Eternal life, salvation of others, and then also for personal benefit. That's why we need to be faithful. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. It says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this that He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To gain the glory that He has. He's with the Father now. He's been glorified, and we are going to be glorified. There's personal benefit to being faithful to the things of God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, there it is again, that idea of glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then I want to just, for a moment, notice what He said. This is what God wants to do in your life. He's going to perfect, He's going to confirm, He's going to strengthen and establish you. That's what the intent of God is. I don't know if anybody here feels they're perfect. I've talked to some people that give the impression that they think they're perfect. But I don't know if anyone really would say, you know, I really believe I'm perfect. Because when you say that, you're guilty of vanity, which means you're imperfect. So even if you are perfect, you can't admit it. But that's one of the things that God wants to do. But think about that. How does God want to make me perfect? We're supposed to be perfect in Christ. Perhaps it has this idea of completeness and fulfilling what God wants us to do. Being perfect in that sense, that I've gotten to the point where I'm realizing it's not all about me. In fact, very little of it is about me. It's all about Jesus. And when I pursue that which is of God, and that which has to do with Jesus, then he perfects me. Then all of a sudden, I receive the benefit. I'm being perfected as I exalt the Lord and do what he's called me to do. He wants to perfect us. He wants to confirm us. He wants to confirm the fact that you're a child of God. How do you do that? Well, it's proven that you're a child of God by the way you live. How often have you said, well, that person certainly can't be saved by, did you know this and that? And you begin to talk about an individual and all of a sudden, whoa, well, that doesn't sound like a Christian to me. So that person's not being confirmed at all. We're confirmed by the blood of Christ and we're established in him. And God wants to bring that forth, that who we say we are, that in fact is who we are. If you say, yes, I'm a born-again Christian, then it becomes evident to everybody else. It's confirmed. God confirms it. There's some people, you know, from time to time, I've just walked into their presence and I could feel something positive, something holy. Because you feel that confirmation that is there in their life. God has confirmed them. And they are what they say they are. And they are true to God. It's like God puts his seal on them and you know this is a holy place. Now, I know that the rigors of life and the responsibilities that we have, you can't always go around maybe sensing that or thinking that even. But the fact is God does confirm us. And he strengthens us, and he establishes us. That's his purpose. The tragedy, as I mentioned earlier this morning, is that some have fallen away from this. I know some folk believe that if you're really saved, you can never fall away. You know, what if they're wrong? Even if they interpret the scripture differently, even if I believe they interpret the scripture wrongly, they ought to consider that. What if they don't really have it all together? What if it's possible to walk with God and then, for whatever reason, go your own way? What do you suffer? What's at stake here? What's at stake is what I've just been speaking to you about, that whole question of eternity and what awaits us and the blessing of the Lord. And 1 Timothy 1:18, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you. Prophecies that were made concerning him. God knew where Timothy was and prophecies came forth. That by them you may fight the good fight. And then the apostle says, keeping faith. He had faith. Yes, he had faith. But the apostle says, you know, you got to keep it. He didn't say, hey, what's been done for you? Hey, you're good to go. That's it. Don't worry about it. He said, keep the faith. Keeping faith. And then he says, and a good conscience. Keeping a good conscience, which some have rejected. And suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Wow. You read that. 1 Timothy 1:19. What does it say? It's giving you a picture of some who had faith, but they didn't give heed to it the way the apostle said you ought to. And he was warning the younger Timothy. Paul was saying, look, Be careful now. There are a number of folk that have gone the same way, come the same way you have. They've felt the call the same way you have. They're people of faith, but things happened in their life, and look what happened. Their life is like a shipwreck. In regard to their faith, that's what he's talking about. It's not that they never had faith. They did have faith. But because they made poor decisions and they weren't careful in their calling, they suffered shipwreck in their faith. So, what is the admonition and the promise? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says this, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." So the traditions here, don't mistake that tradition to mean that it's just any old tradition. There are some traditions that ought to be forgotten. But we're talking about the kind of godly traditions. He's talking about himself. When they were teaching in the early church setting, there were some things that they were teaching with respect to the word. And he said, these are things that were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. So these are apostolic traditions that were established in the church. He's saying those things, they're based on the will of God and God's purposes. Those things, remember them. Revelation 3:11 says this, "I am coming quickly." That was written nearly 2,000 years ago. But heed what it says. "I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, in order that no one take your crown." You could just turn this around and say, well, what happens if I don't hold fast to what I have? You could then, it's implied that somebody will take your crown. Some situation, some circumstance, some person can rob you of your crown if you are not careful. It cannot happen if you hold fast to it. But if you play fast and loose with God, you can mark this down, my friend, it will happen somewhere along the line. And what you once had, you will lose. You say, but I had a crown promised. But you didn't hold fast. Why would there be a warning in Scripture if it were not possible? If it were not possible, then there would be no warning. But one of the final words to the church is this, is that you hold fast to what you got. And maybe that's why when I, from time to time, think about those who have passed through my life in my ministry and some that I've had privilege to minister to, and then I see later on through the circumstances of life, their life now is a shipwreck, and I feel the sadness and the remorse. What once was, what could have been, now lost. Lost. And so the word I would leave with you this morning, based upon what we read from God's word, is this. Christian friend, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, child of God, be faithful. Would you bow in prayer? Somebody here today has felt perhaps the pain of conviction. You say, Pastor, I love the Lord, but I cannot say that I have always been faithful. I have to admit sometimes I didn't even try to be. But I don't want to lose what God has done in my life. And I really want one day to be in heaven with the Lord. And I just want the Lord to know that today, right now, at this moment, I recommit and dedicate myself to Him. I don't want to lose what God has done. I don't want the things of this world to keep me from the blessing that God has for me. If that's you today, right where you are, you can make that commitment. But as a sign of that desire, just slip your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, this is me today. I'm making a new commitment this morning. Amen. Yeah, just go ahead. It doesn't mean you're lost and reprobate. It just means you've heard what Jesus is saying. Amen. Yes. You're going to be faithful. You feel like the enemy has been trying to tear away at your faith. And you don't want that to happen. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Any who feel like they want to come to the altar may, but that I'm not calling for that. I just want to pray with you today. Jesus, the way this world is headed, it's getting harder for some folk to hold fast and to be faithful because there are so many distractions and there's so many conflicting views now, and it seems like it's getting easier to blur that line of what is right and what isn't. That whole issue of propriety. And Father, sometimes if we're not on a daily basis hungering and thirsting after righteousness as your word says we ought to be, then sometimes we can get caught up and we can stray. Lord, today we say we don't want that to happen, but we reaffirm our faith in you. Jesus Christ is our Savior. We serve the living God, the God who is always there, the all-present one. And we reaffirm that faith in Him and we say, God, we're going to serve you. And when the enemy comes our way and he creates distractions that would try to get us off course, we want to be sensitive to know that is the enemy. And we want to be able in those moments to resist and to turn our hearts to heaven. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill our lives so that we would have lives of discernment and we could live before you without any condemnation, but knowing that all is well with our soul. We are people of faith and we choose to be faithful. We strive to be faithful. We commit ourselves to be faithful to you and to your service. God, seal this commitment today by your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful? There's always restoration and help at the foot of the cross. There's always hope for the man or woman or that boy or the girl that looks to the cross and says, I need help and I need it right now, Lord. There's always hope at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in the victory that you give. Would you stand with me? Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I give you my life, and I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, and I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we prepare to leave this place strengthened through your word and by your Holy Spirit. You've promised the Spirit to those who ask. And so I pray that your people would receive the Holy Spirit and the blessing of the Lord. Lord, may your bountiful blessing rest upon your people. Guide us in our paths this week. Help us to be that light in a darkened world that would point the way to Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I pray in his wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. And don't forget tonight, we'll have a great time together. Don't miss tonight, special movie showing tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.
On my own, now that I am seen.